finger in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm coming back there. But I want to go first to 1 John chapter 4. I preached different messages on this, but tonight I want to preach upon God's love. And the Bible says God is love. When you see that the Bible says God is love, love is an attribute of God. Some people say, well, God is just love. But what it means is, when you see God is love and God is light and God is spirit, it talks about his attribute and the way in which he conveys to men and to mankind. In other words, God is, to us, God is love. He expresses that and he illustrates that by what he did through Jesus. And so, therefore, there has never been any greater love shown than the love that God showed us through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the greatest love that's ever been shown. So the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Now, let me say something here. One of the greatest litmus tests that you have of a Christian is, do you have the love of God? You cannot understand the love of God by another human's love. You understand God's love by his love. But his love is given to us. Then when we have his love, it begins to show, and if we grow as a Christian, it begins to mature in us. Somebody said, well, so-and-so was mean, but now they're completely different after they got saved. Well, they ought to be. Some of you might not have been as mean, but when you got saved, there ought to be a change of love. Love is something that is shed abroad in your heart by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. The word propitiation, short for that, is just substitute. He took our place. In verse 11, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit." In other words, the love of God is shed abroad by his Spirit. "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath toward us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world." In other words, if we allow the love of God to manifest in our life, we treat people right, and we do right, and show that love that he wants us to, then therefore we have no fear of judgment. We don't have to worry about when we stand before God. Somebody said, well, I may have not done this, or I did this. Well, the greatest thing that we can have in this world is love.
Amen.
Now stay with me a minute. It says, "Herein is love made perfect," in verse 17, "that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love." Doesn't mean that you won't have some fears in this world, but there is no fear when you have the right love. There's no fear about standing before God. It says, "Perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us." Now let me back up a minute in verse 18. when you are not loving and allowing the love of God to work in your life like it should, then what happens is you will have insecurities. You will worry about judgment. You worry about those things. But when you allow the love of God to begin to shed abroad, you'll have greater love for Him. You'll have greater love for one another. Verse 19, we love Him because He first loved us. If any man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Now turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Going to do a little bit of reading, more than normal, but I read some of this morning. I want to read a little bit more of it today. Verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. I told them this morning in Sunday school, you wouldn't drive and pay to sit and listen to somebody play the cymbals. It's annoying. Now, it can play within a band, but just a set, have you ever paid to go see a concert of cymbal? No, a cymbal will drive me crazy. And that's what your actions are when you have no love behind it. It means nothing. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but rather there be prophecies, they shall fail, and rather there be tongues, they shall cease. Rather there be knowledge, it shall be vanished away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I also am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Now, let me say something in introduction and why kind of Lord laid this upon my heart. Wednesday night, I was here and I was looking. We came in and had a decent crowd. And, you know, for the size of our church, on Sunday night and Wednesday night, we have a decent crowd. I mean, much more percentage-wise and proportion-wise than many, many churches. But I was thinking, I was looking, and I don't think maybe other than myself, probably no men here that I remember, I may be wrong, but had a necktie on, not a one. And I was looking, and I was looking around, I was looking, and people came in from work and came in from what was doing and come in. And I looked around, and I saw a group of just common folks. I don't mean that offensively. And I told myself, Lord, I am so proud of these people. I watched that night when things were over. Sometimes we have missionaries come, and be honest with you, I'm going to tell you a little secret, and you may already know it. But sometimes they come up here, and many places where missionaries go, they're given 10 minutes to speak. And they're not allowed speaking longer than 10 minutes. And some of them don't even get that. Then some gets a chance to preach. Many of them do not get the, especially if people don't know them, does not get the privilege of having the service to preach and tell about their ministry. Sometimes you'll find missionaries carry on and get pretty lengthy sometimes. Sometimes they're not used to having liberty to preach in. They feel very insecure. And I would say probably of all the evangelists and all the missionaries that's come through this church, I would say probably close to 95 to 98% has told me, unsolicited from me, what liberty they have to preach here. That's a testimony on you. And also, I would say that probably 70 to 80% of the missionaries come, at least, and preachers, comments to me about your love. And I was thinking Wednesday night, I'd rather have the place where I was trying to remember his name that was here Wednesday night. Somebody help me with it real quick. Who? McGuire. I was thinking about Brother McGuire. Now, he came from a place and came from Georgia, but he came from up north. And his church, and I could tell in talking to him, his church, the original church he come out of was one where all the men and all the boys had ties. Every service. I know a few like that. And everybody is sitting up straight. Most of them don't allow kids in the auditorium. They have other places for the kids so they don't interrupt service. They can have the orderly service. They also sometimes they have a... And so he was, when I met him, I just want to use this for illustration. I could tell that he came from that direction. And so here I am, pretty laid back. Now I always meet these folks and I'm just laid back. Just talk to them and try to be friendly and tell them a little bit, and try to be nice and try to show love. Then when they come here to church, don't know what to expect. When they come, the first thing they do when they walk in those back doors is they are completely impressed with the board across the way for the little church. The second thing is they come in here and they are impressed with the liberty they get. Then they are impressed with the love. And most of them are impressed with the love offering that we give. Now, Wednesday night, we gathered $378. And usually we try to give $300 from the church to the missionary. So we gave right at $700 Wednesday night to the missionary. Now, that's a tremendous gift. But it's sort of like I told them this morning in Sunday school. I used the illustration, or maybe in church. We went to that one place I was talking about going to eat. And did I say that in church or did I say that in Sunday school? And, huh? Yeah. Okay. And I was talking about them leaving just a small tip. There's places that will have a missionary to drive a whole day, 600 miles, and give them $25. $50. In other words, they pay to be there. I don't want to ever be that type of church. When they leave, I want them to have a sense of God's love. And you know what? I was thinking Wednesday night, and you'll have to excuse me, I'm going to open my mind up and share a couple of things. That's dangerous anymore. It's getting dangerous. And don't be surprised if my mouth's moving, nothing's coming out, okay? But, you know, I was sitting here and I was looking back. And I was looking and I was seeing the pews just filled with ordinary people.
And I was thinking, Lord, I'm glad I got people that knows what love is. And I'd rather have a house full, I'd rather have what I have with love than have a house full sitting there with ties on, but yet they vault themselves up and they think they're higher than everybody else. They criticize what everybody else is doing. You see, what was going on in the Corinthian church in chapters 12 through 14 was the Corinthian people was wanting to exalt themselves. And they was trying to find these gifts, and these gifts that was visible, tongues and healing and those, and they were wanting to claim to have all those, and they wanted everybody to see them because they wanted all the glory. Well, Paul condemned them. And you know, nobody was begging and seeking after gifts of mercy and gifts of giving and gifts of that. And I was thinking the other night, I was thinking, the gifts that we have here. There's places that has singing, I'm sure, that has all this singing. We have a lot of talent singing. Sometimes we don't use it, but we have it. But I was thinking there's places that has all these singers and these things come in. I was thinking there's people that has preaching, and yet I've been in some of those places and not feel no love. And everywhere I turn, I see divisions in the church. That was exactly what was in Corinth. You had this little group that thought they was better than this little group. And I was thinking, Lord, if I had my druthers and could have a whole house full of all these propers, I'd much rather have a handful. Because when I have someone like this missionary, he come and he was wanting his son to just be perfect, and he was, because he was so on pins and needles, he left here hugging me and smacking my back and just a different person. He said, Brother, I don't feel love like this. He said, I appreciate you showing me love. And what Paul told him was this. He said, you guys are seeking all these gifts. The greatest gift of everything is love. If you don't have charity, regardless of what else you got going on, you got nothing. Now, I'll be honest with you. I've been in places before, and I mean every key was hit, every note was reached, everything was done just so-so and in order. But there was no love. And I'll be honest with you, it's like tinkling cymbals. I got nothing out of it. And so here, Paul says that when you see it, it's not something that exalts itself. It's not something that seeks its own praise. It's not something. It's something that is unusual because God has put it there and he's changed. And you know, I know you fail. I know we have different ones that fails with God. I know those things happen. But look here, the thing that God is most impressed with and the thing that is the greatest testimony we got to anyone is love. If you don't have love, you got nothing. And when someone comes in, like Chris was talking about Kyra, if you can't show somebody like that love, somebody said, well, they don't benefit the church any. That's not what you try to seek. There are people that they only go out and they try to seek people. And I've had preachers tell me, Brother, you need to get this one in your church. He ties good. I said, yeah, and he split every church he's been in. Why do I want him there? I had one guy tell me, he said, Brother, I just come down there when we fixed and build this building. Brother Porter, I never did tell you all his name. But he told me, he said, you let me be a deacon there. He said, I'll come down, I'll bring my construction crew. I'll put the building up. You won't owe a nickel on it. I said, just stay where you're at. I said, I'd rather owe the bank than owe you. And I said, everywhere you've been, you split a church. And so I'd much rather just have a bunch of people that just has God's love. And God's love is something special. Does it mean that you're going to be perfect in all your ways? No. But it means that when people are here, they know it. And I'm telling you, and by the way, if you haven't figured out, I'm bragging on you tonight, okay? I'm telling you that I'm not making it up. This is what people feel as it comes. And a lot of them's in a lot of churches. And they all tell me, they say, you have something unusual. We don't find very often around. And I look and I see just common folks. But I see people that loves. I have no doubt. If any of you came to my house right now and needed anything, within reason that I could do, you could have it. And I have no doubt that I could come to your house. And if I had a great need, I know that you'd do whatever you could to help me out. Do you know what it feels like to be part of a family, extended family like that? I know when Kathy and Greg came, some of us started out to eat, and they were standing there. We said, come on out and eat. Remember that? They thought it was kind of unusual that we would ask them. I said, listen, when we go eat, anybody in here that hears us, we're going to go eat, jump in the bandwagon, come and eat. Now, it's Dutch, but you can come and eat. But yeah, it gets loud too. But the point is this, but I'll say this. If you have no money, you jump in as well. And you just tell me privately, and nobody will never know. But we never want anybody not to go eat. And nobody will never think any less of you. But tonight, what I wanted you to understand is this. I wanted you to understand, and I was actually going to go through and look at the definition of love in chapter 13, but you can read it yourself and you can study it. But I want you to understand that I appreciate you all. I watched the other night as Brother McGuire stood here, and I just stood back and I watched. And I watched you all. Say something to him when he walked out. When you walked out. You didn't have to, but most of you had a smile and you said something. You said something positive and you shook him and you always told him you was glad to have him and you treated him so friendly. And I thought, man, I tell you what. And I just seen him light up. I knew what was going on inside of him. And sure enough, when everybody left, he told me, he said, brother, he said, man, I've so enjoyed being here. I said, well, that's good. That's what we want. He said, it was such a blessing. I said, you know, that's what it's all about. And see, the Bible says that Jesus said that that's how you tell my disciples, because they love one another. And you know, when you love, does that mean that she's always going to do everything that you agree with and her? Love covereth charity a multitude of sins. Everybody in here fails at times. Everybody. Everybody in here has their moments. But love ought to override so many things. And you ought to be able to reach down. When push comes to shove, you ought to be able to get down deep enough where love manifests itself. And it comes to the top. And when we have to deal with an issue, a problem, whatever it may be, when we do, love ought to come to top.
Amen.
And it ought to be spiteful. It ought to be mean. It ought to be envy. But love ought to come up. And so
what I want you to understand, that's why if you look back in chapter 13 a moment, if you notice, it says, now, by the faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity, because charity is the nature of God. It's what God is all about. All things point to the love of God. Now, you can manifest, and listen, you can tell someone's love of God by how they love each other, love the church, love the things. It's easy to say you love something. You know, I've had people walk out the door and tell me they love me and say something positive and leave and never come back. Mad as whiz, and I didn't even know it. Or talk bad about it and so forth. But you know, love will be the nature of the kingdom that we're going to go into. It's also the nature of the kingdom here. When you're born again into the kingdom of God, love is part of the byproduct. If you haven't been affected by the love of God, you're probably not saved. Now, I do understand you have to perfect the love of God, but the love of God is shed abroad in you when you get saved. How many of you remember when you the night you got saved and you just kind of loved everybody? Remember that? I mean, man, when you first get saved, you just kind of love everybody. That spirit, all of a sudden, God puts something in you and you think, where'd that come from? And I've seen women that takes care to get their makeup all up and so forth. I see them sit up here and just have rivers of black running down their face, crying and just smiling right away, loving everybody, not worrying about what they look like. And the worst thing about it is they want to grab me and hug me with a white shirt on, and then I have black all over me. But anyway, love is something that's going to be eternal. Faith and hope is going to reside one of these days, but love is eternal. But tonight, I really didn't want to preach at you. I wanted to preach to you. And I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciate what you do and how that you treat people when they come. And that means so much, because I'm going to tell you, if you'll read the letters from the missionaries when they leave and come and send them back here, look and see how many of them says something to the effect, I was encouraged. And some of them come here very defeated. They call on the phone, they try to get meetings, and some preachers can be pretty rude about this. And they just won't let them in church. And some people's got just these little cliques, and it's only their little clique gets in. I've had missionaries all over the world call, and I've let them come in. I do research. I do ask some questions. But you know what? I don't know that we've ever had a real bad one. And every one of them I've gotten something from when they've come. But you know, every one of them that's come, we've been able to be a blessing to, and that's what it's all about. And so tonight, I just wanted to encourage you. And I want you to know that I appreciated that. And I wanted to stand before you as your pastor and say, I appreciate your love. That lets me know that many of you are saved individuals because your love manifests itself. And I appreciate that. And, you know, I hate to be in an environment where everybody's talking about each other. I despise that. And people think that, or I hate to be in an environment where somebody thinks that they run everything. I want you to understand something here. I come yesterday, and I was out here and come out doing a couple things, and I looked, and somebody was over here working away doing something. Several times when I come, somebody will come, they didn't say nothing, they didn't stand up in church and tell everybody what they did that week. And I thought, that's good, so good. And you know,
I just wanted you to know that I appreciate that, and I appreciate what you do. I appreciate how you give when it's time to give. I appreciate how you come out when you got to come out. When something needs done and somebody just takes it and does it, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you doing that. And you know, we may not be the biggest thing on the block, but I want you to know that I really appreciate you. And I really appreciate what you are and who you are and the love that you show complete strangers. That means a lot. Amen. Let's stand and give a song, Brother Porter.
382.
382.